Once I was the king of Spain.
Now I eat humble pie.
Whoa, my unspeakable wife, Queen Lisa.
Now I eat humble pie.
I'm telling you, I was the king of Spain.
Now I eat humble pie.
And now I work at the Pizza Pizza.
One, two, three, four.
Back on downtown, 15 to go before 5 o'clock. Time for Message in the Bottle. A bottle, not brothel, bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. 86 Hammond Street, Bangor. Eric Meehan with us. Hello, Eric.
That's right. It's time for Message from the Brothel. Wait, what?
That's a completely different segment. Oh, my.
Oh, that's Late Night with Rich Kimball.
Yes, yeah. That's our that's our blues show a little little later this evening.
That's right. And I'll be quite honest, and I'm sure my wife is just sitting there laughing at this, like, right. I would be the last person to be able to talk about anything interesting in that vein. Yes, sir. Yes, in fact, with regards to my lovely wife, it's interesting. This is around the time, 25 years ago, that she and I started to admit to each other that maybe being more than friends might be worth our time thinking about. Not much happened since then. I mean, you know. But yeah, no, it's quite amazing spending a quarter of a century with them.
Wow.
Like, wow, that's crazy talk. I wanted to address briefly before I start in on being the King of Spain, one of the more monumental events in our lifetime. Everybody knows that, you know, I'm a man of the people, and you know, things are serious. And so I wanted to just make sure that everybody took a moment, maybe several moments, and consider going to the Umbrella Sky Night tonight, starting in about 15, 14 minutes from now. I know that, listen to Rich on the way, and get your tookuses down to Cross Street and check out this beautiful installation. There's going to be people, things, photo ops. I'm super proud of this and all the work that so many people have been doing lately to make downtown a cooler place to be. But do please go down tonight if you're free from 5 to 7 and check that out. And also props to everybody who put on yet another great night market. If you guys have not gone to the night markets that are happening now once a month on the waterfront presented by the main micro artisans, you're missing out. I'll just say that. So you can find all that on Facebook, etc. Cool. Now I've done my downtown diligence, as it were. Let's talk Spain. I've sort of been wandering all over, and then, you know, we talked about nice ways to beat the heat with alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages. And now we're settling into sort of the heart of summer. And the heart of summer always makes me think of sparkling wine. And so today we're going to talk about one of the best places you can find sparkling wine in the world that is not named Champagne. And that is Catalonia. So we're in Spain. We are in a part of Spain that has been part of Spain and sometimes hasn't been part of Spain. And recently, some people in this part of Spain didn't want to be part of Spain anymore, but they got defeated in legitimate democratic elections, which I hear are still a thing in other parts of the country, other parts of the world, rather. But this is Catalonia. Catalonia extends north of the French-Spanish border, and in France it is called the Côte Catalan. But essentially, this is a part of the. It's one of two border crossings into the Iberian Peninsula. Hence, naturally, it is strategically important, and therefore has been run and overrun and overrun again by many people. But it does have its own identity, and that is not Spanish, and it is not necessarily anything but Catalan. In fact, and I tell this story every year, but it's worth mentioning, that when my wife and I were honeymooning in Barcelona, you'd go into the museums, and there would be, you know, the typical, you know, international cities, you'd have, you know, four or five different explanations of varying sites, artifacts, etc., in all these languages, you know, and it would, you'd think it would be Spanish, English, German, etc., but there was always one preceding everything else. And knowing the Romance languages, my wife and I, We were always a little confused, and indeed, it's Catalan. It is not Spanish. They are proud of their heritage, and it is unique. Barcelona, of course, is the main city of Catalonia in Spain, but the main wine regions are, of course, outside the major city, as they are in pretty much anywhere except Vienna. So you have to sort of go either south, southwest, or west, depending on what you're trying to look for. But as I mentioned, Cava, the Spanish sparkling wine, is the major product from this area in terms of the wine world. The main region of... you can make Cava anywhere, by the way, in Spain, but basically 99% of it is made in Catalonia, and specifically in the Penedès region, and the capital of Cava itself is a place called Sencerne de Noia, and this is where Coronieux and Fergenet, which I'm sure everybody has had at least a sip or two of in their life, even if you don't know it, and perhaps more than a sip. That's where they basically sit, looking over each other on a big square. But outside that, there are wonderful, wonderful micro-producers of Cava that have also ventured into still wines. And as I mentioned, the Penedès region especially is really taken on in the past 20 years in effort to individualize itself and say, this is a magnificent terroir worth noticing in and of itself. And some of the whites that are made out of the same grapes that go into Cava, that is Parriada, Charello, Macabeo, are really special out of that area. So do check those out. Certainly there's reds made in Catalonia as well. There are some interesting native varietals, most notably a grape called Trepat, T-R-E-P-A-T, which is made into rosé cavas. It's made into still reds down in a place called Conca de Barbera, which is south of Barcelona. If you're ever in Barcelona and kind of want to get out and do it, I'd say a day trip, but maybe a 2-day trip. It's a beautiful, beautiful area, which is not as popular as it could be. So you might find some secluded places to be romantic and have a glass of Cava with your loved one. The other main place to mention when you're talking about Catalonia is, of course, Priorat, and around Priorat you have the area of Molsant. So this is sort of a horseshoe-shaped place. Priorat is the inner part of the horseshoe. Molsant is the outer part of the horseshoe. Molsant has very granitic soil, very similar to Beaujolais. The Priorat area is magnificently steep and terrifying if you ever drive around there, home to a very famous monastery, which in English means the steps of God, or the steps to God, rather. And it's steep and horrible, but the grapes that they grow there are absolutely blessed by whichever deity you choose to believe in. Deep, rich reds come out of there. But again, in the past sort of 15-ish years, 20 years now, I guess, the producers there have also realized that they need sort of inexpensive, appealing reds to basically support the bottom line. And they're really wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean to, hint that they're not good. They're made out of absolutely fabulous fruit. They're just simply, they're a newer entry. It's like, if you really respect the dad, maybe you'll really love the son, something like that. But Priorat, Molsant, definitely very distinctive places, different from each other, even though they're very close together. But those are sort of the big wine regions of Catalonia. So next week we'll hit the what I call the Tempranillo belt, and we'll do more Spain. In the meantime, get your tuchuses out, as I said, to the Umbrella Sky night, and as I said, listen to Rich on the way.
Sounds like a good plan right there. Eric, we thank you as always. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll check in next Tuesday.
Will do. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
You got it. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday right here on Downtown.